Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel from Matthew chapter 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe upon him, and plaiting a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat upon him, and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they'd mocked him, they stripped him of the robe, and put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Seated. God's grace to you today from our Father in heaven, our Creator, and from Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who bore that crown of thorns for our sake. Amen. We're going through the sermon theme here in these Lenten services on the road of Christ and the way he walked. Last week we looked at his humility. And today we're going to look at another aspect of his walk that he had to the cross, because all of us likewise have a road to follow in the same way. For as Jesus says in Luke 9, verse 23, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And so if we are going to be Christ's disciples, we need to follow the road of the cross. We need to walk in the same way that he walked. So let's take a look. Last week it was humility. Let's see what we can find in the scripture reading for today from Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 27 again, which I just read a moment ago. The soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium. They gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him, put a scarlet robe upon him, and plaiting a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, put a reed in his hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat upon him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they'd mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. Now, when you read this passage, there are a lot of things that we could talk about based upon the way Jesus walked to the cross. But here I see something that he basically doesn't tell us that he did anything in response to all of these attacks. Mocking, spitting, striking. What did he do in return? He waited patiently and quietly upon his Father, right? Actually, in 1 Peter chapter 2, I can recite it. I didn't actually write it out here. But it says, "He committed no sin. No guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted to him who judges justly." That's what we see here in Christ's road to the cross, was that he trusted to him who judges justly. He didn't strike back. He just waited quietly, waiting upon his Lord. So if you also have to have a road to the cross, sometimes our lives are pretty okay, at least compared to Matthew chapter 27, right? But we will suffer persecutions. We will suffer attacks from the evil one, the sinful flesh, and the world in this life. We do have to bear our own cross daily. So we want to walk in this trusting way like Jesus did, not striking back, but quietly waiting for the salvation of the Lord, but with a purity and confidence that is strong in the Lord. And in fact, Christ's confidence was pure, a pure trust. So let's talk about trusting today, walking in trust, all right? Well, how do we walk in trust? Well, one way, as it says in Jeremiah chapter 17, which we read also, is not the way we walk in trust. It says here, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his arm, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert, tumbleweed in a ghost town, basically. Shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land." Now, in Webster's dictionary, trust is defined like this. It's confident reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. You got a choice today and every day. Where are you going to place your trust of your heart? Cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his arm. And we all get this temptation, don't we? To trust in your own insight, your own understanding, your own strength of arm to rescue you out of your present day struggles and difficulties. Amen? Don't say amen. We don't want to be confirming that too much. But, of course, that's what we all wrestle with, right? And boy, do we have to wrestle with it, because also everything we learn in the world from the world is trust in man. Think of the movies. I want to challenge you right now. Name one movie where the hero actually is strong because of his faith in God, and God's the hero of the story. Any modern popular movie I'm talking, not talking like Charlton or Heston and Moses or something like that. Any modern movie? Can you think of any? Or a cartoon for children? Any newspaper? It's all the glory of man, right? Every story from Star Trek to Star Wars to whatever, it's about, here's man, here's the great struggle, and look how man overcomes it. Man versus nature, man versus man, man versus such and such, and he always is the one who wins. And it reminds me then, I just looked this up, I don't know this song, maybe you know it, it's called Believe in Yourself. Isn't that the mantra of the world that we live in? Isn't it that the temptation that you're most tempted about too? Believe in yourself. Trust in your own might. Make flesh your arm. Check these words out. I don't know the song. I just looked it up some time earlier this morning. Maybe you know it. If you believe within your heart, you'll know that no one can change the path you must go. Believe what you feel and know you're right, because the time will come around when you say it's yours. Believe there's a reason to be. Believe you can make time stand still. You know from the moment you try, if you believe, I know you will. Believe in yourself right from the start. You'll have brains, you'll have a heart, you'll have courage to last your whole life through. Believe in yourself, believe in yourself, believe in yourself, as I believe in you. It has a nice little twist there at the end, but come on, be serious. Isn't this the way the whole world is? Believe in yourself, you can do it, overcome it yourself. Put your trust in you, or at least in some other flesh or man or wisdom or your riches or your insight. What's it say in Proverbs 3, verse 5? Don't rely on your own insight, fools, parentheses, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll make straight your paths. So let me ask you that question today. Let it penetrate into your hearts. If Webster says it's a confident reliance upon the character, ability, strength, or trust of someone or something, who are you putting your trust in? In your present situation and for your salvation. Of course, it's got to be in God, right? As it says also in Jeremiah chapter 17, the next line after that says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. Doesn't fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It's not anxious in the year of drought. It doesn't cease to bear fruit." Wouldn't you like to be like that? Do you feel withered today? You feel like a tumbleweed blown through the wilderness? Your trust's probably not in the right place. Or are you like a tree that's leaves as ever means remains green? Maybe you're looking at the world gloom, or the economy tanking, or your own life, there's struggles and difficulties. Are you anxious in the year of drought? If your faith, if your heart is truly firmly planted and rooted down by the stream of God's power and character, you're not going to be worried. You ultimately, as Jesus did, even going through these great struggles, Matthew 27, he didn't open his mouth, didn't revile in return, but Peter says he trusted. He trusted. In the midst of all that, he trusted in the one who judges justly. And what did he trust in? That God would deliver him. Do you believe God will deliver you? Do you? He will. So what do we need to do in order to trust in the Lord? A couple things here. First of all, you've got to remember his power. In Psalm 146, it says, "Put not your trust in princes, the son of man in whom there's no help. When his breath departs, he returns to his earth. On that very day his plans perish." You know all the heroes that you're out after, that you love on TV and storybooks and whatnot? You know, in recent years, they started putting bloopers at the end of the show that watch all the times that your hero totally messed up his line. You think, oh, if I could only be so fluently cool as this person and debonair and have everything always working out, if I were only like that person, that's a farce. You see the bloopers at the end, you know, your hero, you know, Errol Flynn doesn't swing over and land on the rock. He crashes into a tree, you know, and then on the fourth take, he actually makes it. That's the one you see. So all of the trust in princes, all of the power that you're going to lean on in your money or your insight, is just leaning upon a bankrupt, non-powerful thing that's going to fail you. But the Bible says, lean on the one who really has the power. Happy is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Why? Verse 6, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them. Let's think about the Lord's power. There was Oliver Cromwell. Remember in England, he took over the country from, who was that? I don't know which king it was. Was it, at any rate, ancient English history. Who was it? You didn't know? Okay. He sent an ambassador once over to another country. The ambassador was very nervous and worried, couldn't sleep at night. But his servant was sound asleep. And he woke his servant up and said, how can you sleep like this at a time like this? I'm worried about this mission we're on for our king. The servant's response was, hey, was God ruling over the universe and king before all this happened? Yes. Is he going to rule long after we're dead? Yes. Then why don't you let him rule in the present as well? How about you? Let me ask you that question. Is God the king of the past for all eternity? Is he going to be king in the future? Then let him rule now in your life. Trust in his power, for he made the heavens and the earth. What possible problem could you vaunt yourself and bring before him that he can't handle? But sometimes I think, number point two here, is that we know and believe in his power. We just don't think he's going to use it on our behalf. You ever feel that way? Sure, God could heal me. Sure, God could get me through this. But will he? That's the question. Aye, there's the rub. Will he actually do it? You know, look at the next verse here, please, with me. The God who made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoners free, etc. Don't you know that God's faithful? He's not going to leave you hanging when you put your trust in him. We need to lean upon him because his character is at stake here. Once it was Hudson, the missionary, first missionary to China. He wanted to head out, but he wasn't really sure if the Lord would supply for him. And he was standing on Brighton Beach wondering whether to bring the gospel to the Chinese. Never really had a gospel there before. And finally it dawned on him, if I'm going to be obedient to the Lord, he's going to take care of all the results as to whether I'm safe, as to whether it'll all work out. Can you rest on that? If you step out and obey the Lord, don't you think he's going to be faithful to you, to deliver you, to see you through, to guard you? Once upon a time, there was a bishop that went out, and it was warned that there were marauders and robbers and thieves around who would murder him if he went out on the highway. And the bishop went out, and he slept on the highway. Someone found him later on in the morning and said, how could you sleep last night? He said, well, the Lord was awake, so it was no use having the two of us stay up all night. Don't you know, as it says in the Psalms, he who keeps you does not slumber? Behold, he who keeps Israel does not slumber or sleep. Are any of you having trouble sleeping at night because of your worries? You ever had that problem? I'm sure you have. Are you having it now? Why are you having two of you stay awake all night? The Lord's watching over you. He's powerful. He's faithful. And he's awake. So sleep, okay? Rest in him. And then thirdly, here's the real one I think we have difficulty with. If we believe his power, if we believe his faithfulness, we want him to do it right now. What happened with Jesus? He suffered. They hit him, played a crown of thorns on him, mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews. He didn't get the deliverance right away, but he didn't have to because he trusted to him who judges justly that he's going to bring it at the appointed time. Do you believe God's going to bring your deliverance at the appointed time? Are you wondering today whether God's really going to save you, take care of you in your life, and then ultimately on the day of his coming? Look, God is not on our time schedule. We'd say, you know, God, arrive earlier. Give me my sermon 3 weeks ahead of time. I'll be a lot happier than at the last minute, you know, or whatever your problem is. That's mine. Sometimes, always, actually. But the Lord always arrives on time, and he's got purposes for arriving when he arrives. So as Jesus waited quietly on the Lord, look, God is able, God is willing, God is faithful, and God is always on time for you. So as we walk our road to the cross, let's walk in the same way that Jesus walked. When we're reviled, not reviling in return, but trusting to him who judges justly, and that he will, and I promise you, he will deliver you. Amen.